Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to No Small Questions, the No Small Role show where we get to essentially just grill all the cast of No Small Roles and get all the gossip. You may have noticed I am not Superfan Sam.
What?
I know! Surprise! It's me, Superfan Han! Shocker! I'll be asking the questions tonight. And with me, I have the Queen of Twain Tide, who also loves a bit of wilderness cooking and a lot of tattoos. Vicky Gaskin, who plays Juna.
Heya!
And we have the fabulous person who pulls all the strings of fate, the amazing David Knight.
Hi, how's it going?
Tonight, I will be asking questions that have been submitted via the Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Discord, and even in the live chat we have on our Zoom today. We have our lovely patrons from Patreon joining us, some of them. So if you would like to be able to join us live, get on Patreon, become a patron, and then you can be part of this amazing experience.
Come join us.
Yeah.
It's really fun. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a super fan. I guess this is when I need to do a spoiler alert. This episode of No Small Questions will be asking questions about episodes up to and including episode 63. So if you haven't listened to any episodes prior to that number, please go do it now and then listen to this, unless you want to spoiler it for yourself for some reason. I don't know why you'd want to do that. Maybe you have anxiety about not knowing things. I don't know.
David does that to us all.
I fully relate. Mostly in dealing it out more than, but no, I do. I fully relate.
I think I'm just going to dive right in with questions because we have some really, really good ones and I want to get through as many as possible because they're great. And
let's go. Juicy
as Ross Meikle Rhymes with Treacle said on Instagram, I predict excellent banter. So we want to have a lot of room for the excellent banter.
Stop. Lightning bolt.
You know, it actually is written like that as well. I'm looking at the question now. It's written with a star and a lightning bolt. I love it.
It's because he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, good old question monitor.
So, to kick us off, Robin the Fairy Bard asks, both of you, in my home game, all of us player characters have just celebrated Whisperween and had to describe the costumes we were all wearing. If the Abraca lads were to do the same, what would they dress as?
Oh, that's a good one.
That is a great question.
That's so fun.
Vicky, do you want to go first? Or because otherwise I'm going to decide for everybody else. I'm going to dress up all the other characters.
I know, you do it first and you say what
that's
you think Juna
such
will be
a
in.
DM
then,
attitude.
Like, you do everyone, I mean, and then I'll tell you whether you're right.
I feel like the obvious one for Juna is obviously like a witch, you know, going, you know, your full wide brimmed hat, broomstick type vibe. But also, I think she could really work as a pumpkin.
I was going to say, I think she'd do a bit of a like creature ween. Like, oh, I think she'd dress up as like a black cat.
Would she do a Heidi Klum worm because of the worms?
It was terrifying, that costume.
Oh, I changed my answer to that, Tanner. That's the one.
Yeah.
The first time I saw that picture, it was just the middle of her face and it was terrifying and I clicked on it. No, I think that would be... Hannah, you answered the question so beautifully.
Yeah. But I really like the idea of Juna dressed as a little black cat. That sounds really cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I would dress Juna as a witch, like a real traditional witch with the green face paint and everything.
She'd be so cute.
I think Gwendolyn should be dressed as Gubbins. That's what I want. Like a massive Gubbins.
Gwendolyn does cosplay, doesn't she?
Oh, 100%. 100%.
I can see nerdy little Gwendolyn definitely cosplaying when she was younger before she like went to monk school and started properly training.
Like really, really, like really specific niche people that they're like, this is amazing, but who are you? And she's like, well, actually, I'm like this very particular character that I read about in this scary book once. And they're like, okay.
Yeah. Yep. Who would Enkidu get dressed up as?
I think he'd do like a sort of classic warrior look kind of thing, wouldn't he?
Yeah. Mostly because I can imagine he probably wouldn't want to be out of armor just in case.
Yeah.
So he'd have himself protected. Even though it's a costume, it's like still functional.
I can really imagine him dressing in like a full suit of proper armor. Like, I am a haunted suit of armor or something.
And all things that he owned anyway, but he sort of put together.
Yeah. I can finally wear this.
I feel like Guy might go as himself.
Yeah. I mean,
would he not go as Elvis?
He's basically in disguise the whole time anyway,
as
right?
As Elvis.
That's a really
That's
good
a great
shout.
One, Hannah. Do you want to just answer all our questions for us tonight? They're much better answers than ours already.
You've been nailing it.
Oh my God. Ross has just answered on the chat in Kidu, Batman in chaps. Which trumps all those other answers now.
That's incredible. I can so see him as Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would Orin be the Robin to Enkidu's Batman?
Yes.
Oh my God, they do a couple's costume. It would be so cute.
Yes.
That would be adorable.
And he would also, like, I feel like, because Orin's so technical, he could do the, like, motorbike sidecar from, like, Fools and Horses version for them to get into. And then Enkidu and Orin would get at it where, like, Enkidu's like, no, we need a Batmobile. And he's like, no, but this is, like, what I've made.
I've just made this.
Oh, that's so cute. I love it. I love that so much. Yeah.
Thank you. It's Robin the Fairy Bard who asked
that question.
Yes, it is
Robin the Fairy Bard.
I feel like we need a one-shot of that now. Yeah, thank you for that, Robin.
The Whisperween one-shot. That would be so good.
Yeah.
That would be really exciting. Yeah. staying on the spooky seasonal theme, Captain Jam actually asked both of you, because it was recently Halloween, let's get spooky, what are your biggest fears for each character right now?
Oh, so many.
I have concerns. Many.
I really have to separate my fears for the characters where we've got up to and where everyone has
episode
up 63. To.
63.
Yeah.
63. So what's just happened is Enkidu's just been beaten up in the sewers.
Yes. Yeah.
And everyone's rushing back to talk to Alcibiades.
Yeah. I think I have a lot of fear surrounding Enkidu at the moment. I think it's he needs some tenderness, doesn't he? He's got a lot going on. You know, he's died. He's got a new body. I think what happened to him in that last episode was terrifying. Like the Malia stuff, but also the stuff that was going on with the other guys. So I want him to like. I want him to get some sort of answer about something.
They're coming eventually. They're coming, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree.
What fears are there? What are your fears for the characters, David? Because
personally,
that might be what's about to happen.
Well, I'm worried. I'm worried for all of you going into Chargelt Hall. That's what, like, all of your plans and that heading on in there. And I know this is a kind of like retrospective, retroactive worry. because we've recorded at the moment up until episode 69 as we record this. So we're a little ways ahead. I've got an idea of how things go, but I still have big worries for everybody.
I have worries.
It's like, it's the night, like, you know, you have fun, you set up all of the obstacles and set up all the blocks, but I don't know how well everyone's going to roll in the moment, or any character choices that they're going to make that could put them in more danger than I've planned for. And so that's what my constant worry is for everybody. I'm going to accidentally kill you when I don't want to.
That you've made the most dangerous world, and you're like, gosh, these guys could fuck it up so that the thing that wasn't meant to kill them will kill them. God, terrible.
The big fear for me at the moment, and I think you guys covered this in Superfan Chats this week, which if you haven't listened to it, you should. It's amazing. Is it. Just sort of like the people who we are now surrounded with. There's the Arcanists. There's the Hex. There's the Children of Havoc. And then, you know, we've been to the Wingthrops and we've seen a Golem army, which, like, how do you go up against that? Oh, so here's a story for you. I was stood where was it? It was near Bournemouth, wasn't it? Where me and David and Ben stood.
Oh, yeah.
On the cliff edge, looking out to sea. And David goes, how big an area of this ocean do you think a Golem army would take up? So me, Ben and David stood there
figuring it out.
Working out what the area would cover of the Golem army. And it's so massive. So much ocean, Ben has put in the chat. So I think there's just so many people.
There's all that.
Who we don't trust.
And I will drop in a little reminder about that. Flames, floods, the dead rising. That's also just there. That happened. I mean, I know that happened a long time ago, but that is there.
It's still there. And also the crowd at downstairs tower with all the mirrors. There's all those potential people out there. So there's just... And, you know, the political landscape, I just think there's so much to be scared about.
Yeah.
But you guys are actually doing a really good job of keeping yourselves, safe-ish through it all. You're navigating through all of these different troubles and bumping into them going, okay, well, maybe not that one today. All right, we'll walk around this corner.
I think for Juna, David and I obviously have had a chat about Juna's belief system, and we've heard Ginger's feedback on her meeting Kieda. So, you know, in Juna's mind, she's been sort of she exists to sort of keep the balance, right? And to sort of, she feels like she has a place in the bigger mechanics of the world. So I think my fear through Juna is, I think she's working out, well, how do I fit into all this? What do I need to do? And she's sort of in her mind gone, well, all of these young'uns are like her, essentially she thinks of them as the Power Rangers, and she's there to sort of support them and stuff. And so it's how does she use her powers to make a difference? And it's so much bigger than I think she ever thought it would be.
Are you scared also that Juna is secretly for the dark rather than the light?
A little bit.
or the balance. I was going to say, is there a fear in there around that?
And I think Juna... Juna believes that all of the gnomes think that they're for the balance, because that's sort of how she's been trained. So I think meeting Kieda, who doesn't think that, I think maybe, you know, that it's not going to take much to rock Juna's confidence, because I think the cracks are starting to show in something that she's been so strongly tied to for 200 years and her whole entire life. So I think it's sort of why do these things happen when we touch? And I think there is that fear, but there's also the fear of Juna going, but what if I'm this and what if I'm that? And what if this entire way of living isn't she sort of
losing
swayed that
her
balance
faith in some way, or getting really, least really existentially confused.
Yeah.
David is giving nothing away.
No. No, I mean...
And the big fear, which is baby David.
Hello.
The scariest of them all.
It's fine. Everything's gonna
That's the
be
scariest
fine.
Thing a DM can say.
Do you know he said everything's going to be fine right before the dragon statue at the
Yeah.
I mean,
it was, to be fair to you.
That's the thing. I was like, you know, I've just at that point killed two characters. I just need everyone to like feel the feels, but also like it's all in the plan. Don't worry, it's gonna be all right.
That was so horrible.
Well, we actually have a question for you, David, from Pippa, who is here in the Zoom with us right now. Hi, Pippa.
Hello, guys.
Hi, Pip.
Hello.
Hey, super fan. Hey.
Hi. I have a surprise, surprise, music-related question for you, David.
Lovely. Yes.
As Enkidu entered the Queen's Comb in episode 62, I think we might have heard a variation of the Wingthrup melody underscoring the description of the honey factory. Are you giving us some sneaky musical clues that the Hex and the Wingthrups are much more closely related than we currently know? Or are these themes deliberately quite similar?
That is an outstanding question.
That is an
That's like
question.
Researched, paying attention, super fan.
I write threatening themes fairly close together. I think the other thing, like in those two moments, I've got a real thing for the hammered dulcimer at the moment, which was quite heavy in the Erida Wingthrup stuff. And then it's kind of been brought in with the Hex music as well to pick out the melody for it. It's not purposefully, actually, in that moment. I do drop a lot of hints in the music, though, I'll be honest. So if anyone's listening to things, and yeah, Pip, basically I do it for Pippa because I know they're going to be there being like, oh, let me see, what does this mean?
I have to go back and re-listen with my music here.
Yeah.
In that instance, not so much. What I have been doing, actually, with the Hex theme at the moment is every time Enkidu's done something slightly criminal or, like, used his criminal contact, I've been using the Hex theme as a suggestion of, like, that's the kind of stuff that he's been doing. So the whole time he's been in For Lost Vale, like, he's had this constant, like poking of, like, the Hex getting closer and closer to him almost, which has been a lot of fun. But not explicitly linked those two. I do quite like writing music that, like, little motifs that sound similar, because then it's super easy to, like, flip between them as well. Like, it's so much easier to, like, weave two or three different themes close together if, you know, they're kind of all following a similar cadence. I do enjoy the Hex theme, though. A lot of it I've pulled from way back in the Berry and Fields arc. I realized, like, we've really only had, like, hints and moments of the Hex theme, but, like, in that there was, like, a couple of Hex fights. So when it came to writing all of that stuff with Enkidu sort of being trapped, I kind of, like, grabbed huge chunks of that older melody, and there's actually, like, a Hex B melody that hasn't been used since then, that's kind of then interwoven in with it. So that was a lot of fun, going right the way back and going, oh, look, all pieces of music. I forgot.
David, I don't know if this is a question, but I am in awe of how you both manage to create this campaign and also all the music for it in such a detailed and complex way, where it's not just like, oh, I'll just put some stuff in, that's fine.
And also has like a full, complete life as well, like a family and several other jobs.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, I just enjoy doing it so much. So it's fun to drop little hints here and there. And next time I'm on No Small Questions, I'll answer and reveal more of those connections that have been going on. But I feel like some of them are minor spoilers. Ooh. So I will mention no
Ooh.
More.
How much?
Pippa, have you spotted any more?
You know, we'll have to have a super fan get together and put our heads together and obsessively go over the entire score from the last few episodes, try and pinpoint it all.
That's what I want to do. Preempt the DM.
Yeah. Excellent question, though. Thanks, Pip.
Speaking of lovely touches that really bring the campaign to life. We've actually got a question from super fan Sam for you, Vicky, which is,
aww,
I feel Sam. Like we're due another campfire tale from Juna. Have you got any good ones to delight us with? If yes, please could Juna regale us right now. The banter you two shared on the No Small Roles mega recap episode will do just fine. And he's put a little like winky face like bleh, which is cute.
There, I have dropped another story between what has been released and what has been recorded.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Mm. And I want to talk about it so much, but I don't want to ruin it because I think it'll be really fun.
I think it's in the next episode.
64?
No, it is. It is. It's in 64 because I've just written the music for it. So there you go.
Oh, I'm really glad.
That's so exciting. Yeah.
So you won't have long to wait, everybody.
I'm really excited about this next one as well. I was really like, it sort of came up organically, didn't it? Yeah, and I was like, I've got this one to drop. So I don't have one for now, Sam, but you don't have to wait long for the next
that's
one.
That's so cool.
Yeah. And then once that's been released, then there's lots to talk about.
No, we should have waited. Now I want to know. It would be so lovely to get them all together, and like part of me really wants to just do like a little illustrated book of all the stories, like a little kids fairy tale book. It would be so nice.
I do love Juna's stories. What I do love about them is how much you can pull out, it's interesting. Like listening to them quite often, we're listening in character. So everybody kind of like responds in character to them. But I feel like all of us also then go, oh, wow, okay, I can personally take something away from that.
Yeah, they take a while to write. Hence why I'm not spunking one out in the No Small Questions.
Fair enough. You have to save it for when it's right.
But no, but there is one. And this one is slightly different to the others and sort of has a bit of a special place in my heart. And will do to someone who is definitely listening right now. I'm going to say
more. Oh my God, there's so many. I thought David was going to be the one dropping annoying, like, vague bits of information and, like, Easter eggs. And now it's you, Vicky. No,
this is what the rest of this conversation is going to be, is me and Vicky going, oh, great question. We'll answer it next time. Ooh, it's coming.
You'll be glad that I haven't spoiled it for you all then.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure we will eventually.
Really
will. This is a question for both of you from Kit. And he asks, if you could do an IRL, that's in real life for people who don't speak internet, an IRL Twaintide tournament, what challenge do you think you'd nail and what would be your absolute worst nightmare?
Oh.
See, if there was a real life Twaintide tournament, I would be all over it. I love it. I just like, I feel like June is not necessarily into it that much, but like every now and then, like the natural Vicky in me is like, oh, but it's so fun. But like the one on the bridge, I would have just been like, me, I'll do it. Yeah. And
100%.
That would be the one I would want to do the most. They're like jumping from log to log. Yeah. That was so fun.
Yeah. That one was a really cool one to listen to as well. It's quite action-packed.
One that I think I would absolutely fail at wasn't actually a Twaintide challenge. It was the sticky sausage eating challenge. I mean, I don't do spice on the best of days, so I would have been out straight off. But like, just like having to force feed yourself, like it felt weird even pretend doing that to everybody.
The competitive eating.
It's like if we could all sit down with a nice little bit of chocolate or something, that's nice. But force feeding you like curried sausages. No,
it was a very sensory episode, David.
It was apologies. Really funny though.
Oh,
to admit.
Yeah, it was fun. I think I'd really enjoy the catapult one in Vernock Rise. I don't think I'd be very good at it, but I'd really just like. I don't know. I like trying archery. I've only done it a few times in my life, and every time I've been like, I want to do more. So those kinds of ones I think I'd have a lot of fun with. again, wouldn't be brilliant at.
I think the spoons in the tray would do my head in, because if I didn't get the answer right, I would spend a really long time winding myself up and going, mm-hmm. oh, there weren't any there. I should have noticed it. So I think I would hate that one.
Yeah.
I'm naturally very competitive, particularly like with myself. Yeah, you can tell.
No.
Also, I've got the workout I did this morning was all about being competitive. So I come at this podcast in full like gorilla mode. So I feel like, yeah, it's an interesting time to talk about a competition.
Yeah. How about you, Hannah? Which one?
Yeah.
Which challenges do you think you'd enjoy the most?
Oh, that's a really tough one. My balance is horrible, so I don't think the ones with the moving logs in the water would I don't think I'd be very good at it, but I think I would have a lot of fun trying. Also because I love anything to do with water and swimming, so I'd be like, oh no, I guess I just have to swim. But what do I think I would be good at? I don't really know. All the challenges are so different.
What would you hope another one would be like that you would really enjoy? Like one of the ones we haven't got.
Oh, if there were just like a general like challenge, like escape roomy type thing.
Yeah.
Probably something with a puzzle. I'm better at puzzles. Nothing that involves having to like fit shapes together in space, because again, I find that really difficult. Like polyominoes really mess with my mind. But any kind of puzzles where you, or like riddles, I really love that kind of thing, like word games.
Ooh.
Yeah.
We've not had a riddly one yet, have we?
Yeah. Alice has just said in the chat, yeah. The duck pun. I think that is a riddly type of one. It already feels a bit actually, mysterious, doesn't it?
I'd really enjoy the duck pun, actually.
Yeah, I think that would be. Yeah.
That like roaming the streets trying to find a specific thing.
Yeah, I mean, they all sound really fun.
I feel like David's just given us a clue to what the duck hunt is about.
Ooh.
Gotta find a duck.
Duck. See, that's the kind of thing that I would absolutely love, and it would also drive me absolutely bonkers, because I would be trying to work out the trick. Like, what is the duck hunt? What does it mean? What's like the clever way that it's not just so straightforward? But then is that a double bluff? Is it straightforward? Like, I would be going round and round with that kind of thing for like hours. I'd love it. Definitely that one.
Yeah.
Would you be up for like doing it? Like if you saw the flyer like they did, would you be like, yes, I want to do the spoons? Yeah. Or would you be like, nah?
Definitely. I mean, as much as the super fans slightly ragged on the Abrica lads for taking part in the spoons tournament.
I feel like half the Abrica lads were also ragging on it.
No, as much as we're like, oh my God, guys, there's all this stuff that you could be doing. 100% I would be exactly the same. I'd be like, yeah, games, let's go. Oh my God, so much fun. Yeah. Best distraction. And they are really fun to listen to as well. So, yeah.
They're like, what I've enjoyed about them is how much of a contrast they are to everything else that's going on.
It's a nice balance.
I love that kind of like smash cut between like like especially in the last episode where it's like you've got half of them going, oh yeah, mage child, let's figure out how to cross a room, and then poor Enkidu in the sewers, like absolutely getting kicked out of it. Like just that contrast. It's juicy.
Ben's just said,
such drama.
Look, anyone can save the world, but only one team can win the spoons. It's so true.
Juna needs that as a tattoo, Ben.
Oh my God. If you guys finish the 20 tournament, will Juna get a spoon tattoo? Yes.
100%.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose that contrast between the whole, oh my God, yeah, let's try and cross the room, you know, very escape room. And then Enkidu literally being like, I cannot escape this room. What is happening? Oh my God, I'm falling into a pit. Was thematically, visually in my mind, stunning. And David, Amanda Vickers actually asks, are you just trying to kill Enkidu at this point? Which feels valid as a question.
He is. Unfortunately, it does. He's really getting it, but he's very integral to the plot. so he could not die.
He's very
that would be great.
I would love to kill him, but he's a plot device. So unfortunately, no.
He's not a plotter. He is. Yeah, his entire backstory and all of that has quite large repercussions. So I would quite like him not to die.
I feel there's like a subplot, like a meta subplot, which is Daryl trying to break the game and David saying no.
This absolutely clarifies so much the fears for the characters that you spoke about earlier, David, where you're like, I'm really scared they're actually going to die.
I'm really worried. I mean, I completely see what, like, and this is the other thing is that, like, Daryl as a player makes such strong character choices and they are fantastic. I absolutely love reacting to them, because every time he does say, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm like, ooh, cool, going up. Ooh, I've got no idea what's going to happen next. Luckily, he did give me a heads up with this whole recent hex thing. He was like, okay, so this is what I want to do. I want to go see the hex. And I sat and I really considered it. I was like, well, they've really pissed the hex off recently. I feel like if you were in a really bad relationship with someone, and then they walked up to you to say, hey, and they'd, you know, burnt down your house and your face and stolen things from you and messed about with you in so many different ways, you wouldn't treat them nicely. So unfortunately, I had to do that. But this is the dice playing perfectly into a scenario, is after Malleus had given the warning, the inside check being a one. I was like, write this.
So,
if you wrote that down in a book, you go, I'm being a bit too... That one, Daryl did to himself. Daryl and the dice. I've got.
They're conspiring together.
They're conspiring. Mm.
Daryl's put in the chat, plot armor still allows pain.
It's so true. He'll get answers soon. It's in the plans. It's in the plans, everybody. Don't you worry.
Amazing.
Amazing. It's all good. It's all good for them.
And it's so fun when Enkidu goes a bit rogue, isn't it? It's a real, like,
so
departure.
It's so fun when of you go rogue. You're like, oh. Because all of you have your moments where it's like, hang on a second. What just happened? Why? That is a very exciting choice. Yeah. But what? Why?
Yeah. I love when Gaius goes off as well. And then and it's always the story he tells the party when he gets back.
Yeah.
As if we haven't just heard what he's done.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Everybody has to go with whatever it is, that he, like whatever story he's spinning to explain, you know, extra gold or where he's gotten trinkets from. You're just
like, what you been doing? What? That can't be true. Yeah. Oh, bless him.
Yeah. And again... Episode 64, everyone. Gaius pulls an absolute corker. And that's all I'm going to say. It's beautiful. It is. And again, one of those beautifully unexpected moments from a player to a DM that I'm like, oh, okay. We'll see.
Like handing you a gift.
Actually, the next episode is a real banger of an episode.
It's good, isn't it?
I was just thinking about like where the episode like comes in after what's just happened at the end of the last episode.
Oh my gosh.
So listen to that.
I mean, I'm assuming it'll be out by the time this comes out. So I think,
Probably. In which case, you've probably already listened to it. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did.
On a more lighthearted note, I suppose, there's a question from the amazing superfan Jeremy Cobb. I think this is possibly the first question that Jeremy's asked on this show, which is really cool as well.
I feel like it's maybe the first one under his own name.
Yes. Yes, I think Dwayne has asked a question before. So Jeremy asks, kiss, marry, kill for you or your character, Kral, Erida, and Malleus.
Oh. Kiss, marry, kill.
I love how much more thought is going into this than the more serious question. Like, we've really got to think about this one. This means a lot.
I've been in a really long time.
It's great. I think kiss Malleus, kill kill Kral and marry Erida. That's where I'd line myself up with.
Solid choices. Very solid choices.
I think... I might be about to say the same as you, David, but I wasn't really listening to you. My own answers.
Sure.
I think I'd have to kill Erida because she was responsible for Enkidu's death. So, yeah. And then I'd kiss Kral and marry Malleus and take over the hex.
Ooh, nice.
Very nice. Ross has said Malleus is low key hot. I think Malleus is possibly high key hot, like just straight up quite attractive.
Well, and you know, I think he's pretty hot having been burnt a bit.
Yeah.
But if I married him, I'd have to kiss him anyway, again and again. Whereas I think I could only do that once with Kral. And not go back.
What is it? Is it the aged skin? Is it the undead nature?
Is it the creepy time sickness? I don't know. What's going on?
I think had Erida not been in charge of Enkidu's death, I definitely would kiss her and kill Kral. I'd much rather kiss Erida than Kral. But I still carry a lot of guilt about
the thing is, David, if you married into the Wingthrups, you would have to complete the set of trials.
That's true.
Well, I could marry in and then just not do the trials. Apart from that first one. I'd do the first one and then just not try the others. That's fine. I'll join Coggy and just like walk around in a dressing gown.
If he survived.
Do you think Erida would give you hints of what to do and what not to do?
If I was married to her, I'd hope so. I'd hope that she'd make it a challenge, but then, yeah.
But that would be so annoying, though, if you didn't complete the challenges, because you'd be trying to have, like, a conversation over breakfast, and she'd be like, I'm sorry, that information is restricted to higher-ranking family members.
Yeah, but what do you want for dinner?
That would be that would get old, pretty fast.
Really,
can we just make a decision? Come on.
Amazing.
Forever.
Vicky, Kit asks, what would be Juna's idea of a self-care day?
Oh, she'd love a self-care day. Yeah, I think she'd be quite good at that. She'd definitely do some like high-level meditation.
But yeah, because she's got her flower check, which is kind of a meditation anyway, in some ways.
And yeah, she's got her like seven petal like meditation. I think she'd go a bit Ruana, like when she was alive, like go out into the woods, spend some time in nature, like make some animal buddies, have a meditate. Maybe have a wash. I don't feel like Juna washes very often. Like, I don't know why. Like, we never really talk about washing, but I think Juna's a bit grubby. So I think she'd have a bit of a dip in a lake or something, give herself a bit of a freshen up. Yeah. Make some nice food over a campfire.
That's
I feel like that would
lovely.
Be enough. Yeah.
That sounds really lovely.
Yeah.
It's a really interesting point, and Ben's just commented too. We don't talk about you guys washing or going to the toilet or any of those very normal things,
Gwen,
do we?
No. I know Gwen did have that episode where she very specifically ask for a bath.
That's true. So out of everybody, Gwen was the last person to wash.
Gwen is the cleanest. Oh yeah, Guy had a shower, says Ben.
Guy had a shower. No, that's true. Guy's had a shower. Guy's winning. He's the cleanest. Yeah, I feel like especially that. Like,
Enkidu does prestidigitate. Oh, Enkidu does clean his clothes with magic very often.
He does. Yeah. Maybe that's the thing, is that actually you guys don't have to wash as often because you've got prestidigitation. You basically got Enkidu just like cleaning you all the time.
Yeah.
Just making sure everyone smells nice. And then like the smell of strawberry daiquiri just floating around the whole time.
Yeah, part of our long rest is like having a shower or a bath. But yeah, I don't think Juna is a big washer, like generally. So I think, that's part of the reason why it's never been discussed from Juna's. But we should talk more about going to the toilet.
Let's do it. Let's
not like in. Not like there's anything else you guys need to be getting on with in the
like a Tamagotchi. It's like we put it on the bottom of our sheets. You know, like has guy played the flute? have we all gone for a shit before we go to bed?
Have you eaten recently?
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah.
I feel like there's a lot of talk of everybody in pastries and not much else actually in the party, isn't there? It's always a big, or it's always like a big breakfast. And then, every so often we get Juna doing some cooking in the evening.
I mean, most important meal of the day.
We ate a lot healthier back in like Tillisham when Juna was doing more of the cooking.
Well, and there have been some sort of being invited round to dinners with people that you may or may not be able to trust.
That's true.
To a greater or lesser degree. And Ben shaking his head like, absolutely not. No, no trust. Question for both of you from Pippa. Pippa, would you like to ask it?
Hello again.
Hi.
Hi, Pip.
Hello.
With the upcoming D&D Honor Among Thieves film being released early next year, along with the second season of The Legend of Vox Machina animated series as well, could you also see notable roles working as a film or a TV series if money were no object? And if so, who might play or voice your favourite NPC?
Oh my God, that's such a good question.
Oh, Pippa.
I want it. I want to see it already.
That would be the best.
That would be amazing, right? Oh, just like all of those moments as well, like seeing the Golem army, like all of the animals crashing over the hedge. Those, like visually, those moments would be so cool.
Oh, so good. Come on, someone fund us to do that, please.
Put up a Kickstarter.
Any film studios out there? Hello.
Yeah. In my head, I know who would voice who I would want to voice Juna. Would be Miriam Margulies for sure.
Oh, that's
and I know she's not
casting.
An NPC. I know that's not the question.
Still,
I was like,
that's amazing.
Yes, that is very good casting.
Who would play someone like Lady Vondel? Like that sort of.
I kind of get like Charlize Theron.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Oh, yeah. Ben, I was going to say Laura Bailey as well.
I mean, or Laura Bailey. Yeah. Also very good. Very good casting. That kind of like, just very powerful, like has a softness, but at the same time, like there's a harshness in there as well.
We could get Circus in to play Kral.
100% doing his best Golem Point Two.
I feel like Lena Headey playing Lady Vondel would be good. Giving a bit of Cersei Lannister.
Or Daryl said Helena Bonham Carter.
Also a good one.
Yeah. Mm. All of these people.
Who would you have Jenny. Playing
Who would you have playing Jenny?
Who would you have playing Jenny?
I'd have Dawn French.
Yeah. Oh, that would be so good.
Oh God, I've completely forgotten her name. What Daisy May
Cooper.
She'd do a great Jenny.
Daisy May Cooper as a Jenny.
Ross says Miranda Hart also would be great.
Also Miranda Hart.
Yeah. Ooh,
just for a joker, I'd really like Miranda Hart to be Casula. She does not fit that casting at all. Just to see what she does with it.
Oh, Casula would be a great one to cast.
Who would Casula?
What about someone like Viola Davis?
Yeah, well, I was going to say like with Black Panther 2 coming out. Like
I was about to say her! Like, oh my God, she'd be incredible.
Playing, because,
I mean, I love her as Michonne, so and it's she would be such a good crossover for Casula. Like that kind of vibe would be incredible.
Yeah, strong casting.
Yeah. What about Gus? I feel like in an all-star cast, I think like they would have to give you Gus. Because whilst you're not you're not an A-lister, you would have to be in it. And that would be our bargaining chip.
Amazing.
But David has to play Gus.
Is that we have to each have one character somewhere in the background. Oh, that's a question then, Vicky. Who would you play? So they've cast A-listers as all of the main roles. So they're filling out all the NPCs. Which NPC would you play?
I'd love to play Jenny.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah. That would be so good.
I think it'd be...
it'd be quite fun to be Ferocene, I think.
Oh, Ferocene's lovely, isn't she?
Oh, Taika Waititi is Kira. Yes. Yes, Daryl.
Yes.
Yes, Daryl. Yes.
Taika Waititi for Kira.
Definitely. So
and the idea of like Taika versus Miriam Margulies as well.
Oh my God, the two of them like... together. I know this is so irrelevant, but both of them are Jewish and that makes me so happy.
Yeah, that's what
I say that also being Jewish myself. About. Sorry, yeah, that yeah. needs context. Not just a random person who's like, I love Aww. Jews. No.
By the way, they're Jewish. Yeah. Oh, no, that, I mean, yeah, I'm loving that casting. Yeah. All of that.
Yeah.
Can we make it happen? Yeah. What's the budget?
What is the budget? Mm. I mean, I think around a billion would do.
That'd be good. Yeah. That'd be good. Let's hit up the Arts Council.
There's plenty of money in the arts at the moment.
We can't get into that on No Small Questions. We can't. As much as I want to, we can't go there.
But this was an excellent
such a good question. Thank you so much, yeah, Pip.
Brilliant, yeah. Brilliant.
We could do a whole episode on this question, yeah. Pippa.
Yeah.
That would be so great. Another great question that came from Kit, actually, which was asked on the Welcome to Dragon Talk interview. And it would be really fun to put it in the No Small Questions. So Kit has asked, if you had a dragon horde, what would be in it?
Ooh, suddenly looking around at the large collections of things I have going, oh, what if I could just choose one of those things, what would it be?
Leggings.
Yeah. Leggings.
I have so many leggings. Oh my
God, Vicky, me too. Leggings. Dragon. I love it.
Any particular styles in the pile, or are you like?
Well, they would all have to be from size inclusive brands because fuck anyone who doesn't do that. And just lots, yeah, like lots of different colors. Different styles, different thicknesses, like quality leggings.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, you'd have a hoard, so you'd yeah. need the best, right?
Yeah. I mean, it probably wouldn't, but it's the thing I have the most of.
So what you're saying is you already have a leggings hoard.
I have a leggings hoard, yeah. Many a conversation is had over the space that is taken up by leggings in my house. What about you, Hannah?
Oh,
what,
I mean,
what kind of leggings do you like?
I love leggings. I love all kinds of leggings. But I mainly go for ones that have ridiculous prints on them. I think my favorite pair are ones that just have slices of pizza all over them. It's pretty good.
Nice. Yeah. When we meet in real life for the first time,
oh my God,
we have to both wear our most outlandish leggings. And I've got ones with a unicorn on one side and a robot on the other, joined by a rainbow.
Oh my
God. So I'll wear those.
God.
I don't wear them often because
I'm going to have to up my leggings game so much. Yes.
The two of you are kind of convincing me that maybe I should start a hoard of leggings.
Yes.
This is all I'm hearing.
Yes.
Right,
you should, David.
Absolutely should.
If I were going to hoard any kind of clothing, it would be jumpers. A thick woolly jumper. Wah!
You have a good jumper collection.
I do.
You guys as dragons would be so cute. Be like, ha ha, we have found the treasure. It is mainly sensible clothing. Sensible. Fantastic.
Exciting and patterned, but...
Take your pick. But don't, because I'm a dragon and I'm guarding it.
Yeah, come on, don't touch my jumpers.
Superfan Sam's got another question here for David, which is, David, as you know, Sarah and I are expecting a little adventurer to join our ranks at the end of March. Congratulations, Sam!
Oh, yay!
Yeah! Congratulations!
I hope you get some.
Well, as a fellow D&D dad, cute, see what it did there, Sam. Nice. Can I count on you to immerse both of our halflings in the world of D&D when they reach playing age? And what do you imagine that fantasy world might look like? This is such a wholesome question.
Oh my God, I know.
So awesome.
Absolutely. Obviously, yes. Let's do that. So my little one's just turned 3. And what is really exciting is how much role play she does as play anyway. All of the time. It's like, okay, you're going to be Chase from Paw Patrol. I'm going to be Ryder. And then we just run around pretending to be different characters.
Yes.
So
brilliant.
This is straight out to Sam. First of all, Sam, never show your little adventurer Paw Patrol. Don't do it. Don't do it. And for a third time, don't do it. But, and I feel like I go on about this a lot, show them Bluey. if any parents out there, and actually anybody who's not a parent, you need to watch Bluey. It's on BBC iPlayer. It's on Disney Plus. Go and watch Bluey. Bluey is this little family of Australian dogs. And what they do is play. They play pretend. So it's like as if it's like a normal family setup, like mum, dad and two girls, and they just play pretend. And what is brilliant about Bluey is how much, how many games I have discovered to play with my little one.
Aww.
By watching it. And like, and then, you know, she's got the example of like seeing the game and then we just go and play the game. So if we were to go into like role play fantasy world, they've already got like Shadowland. They've already got like unicorns getting married. All of these little examples of little scenarios. And I feel like we could just straight up move that into D&D.
So
me, Sam, and our little ones.
That,
oh my God. Can you just record it as an adorable podcast?
Yes.
That would be the most wholesome thing, is listening to your little ones play D&D. Yeah. No smaller roles, says Ben in the chat.
No,
that would be so cute.
Toddler edition. But just as an extra plug, everybody go watch Bluey.
I'm convinced, 100%. As you're saying that, I was like,
as an adult who doesn't
that.
Have children, I've seen a couple of episodes and
quality.
Yeah. Thanks.
It absolutely nice. What I really love about it is how many adult subjects, and I'm just going to go on a little rant about it. And I'm going to apologize to Ben, who's out there. We drove back from Bournemouth and I didn't stop talking about Bluey because I love it that much. I told him to go and watch it. This is the truth.
That was instantly after the golem square footage moment.
Straight
wasn't
after
it?
The golem. Yeah. Exactly. We drove back and I ranted on about Bluey for ages.
Guys,
Bluey and Ragtime.
Watch Bluey for clues as to what Bluey is going to come up in those more roles.
You'd be surprised. What I love about Bluey is how many adult subjects it tackles through the eyes of the kids. For example, and it's kind of a little bit of a heartbreak episode, there's one episode where the kids are playing hospital and one of the kids is like pretends to have a baby and it's an early baby, and the kids like go through this entire like understanding of what a premature baby is and how to keep it safe, but through play, and it's just beautiful. There's some really heart-moving, heartbreaking,
my little drama therapist heart explode. Oh my God, this amazing.
Oh yeah.
Now I have to watch it and I can say it's for work.
Exactly.
That's incredible. Speaking of cute things, I've got a really cute question for you, Vicky, from Amanda, which is, what animals would be on Juna's bucket list to have conversations with? We've got two really cute questions right in a row. I love it.
Oh.
Is that how we're rounding it out for the evening? We're just going to ask
for
the cute.
Yeah. We just have a wholesome evening.
After Kiss, Marry, Kill. Very wholesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, the idea of kissing Crow. Think of something different.
I don't think she's spoken to a cat yet, has she? I feel like she'd enjoy having a conversation with a... Yeah, with a cat. I think she's just grateful for any animal that she can talk to. I feel like there's been less creatures since we've been urban. Maybe.
It's true. I should throw some rats or something at you.
Yeah.
Throw some rats at you. I love the phrasing of that.
She'd like to have a chat with a rat.
Oh, you did with the pluck.
The poppycocks. Yeah.
Yeah, you had a little chat with their rat.
That's
true.
They were really cute.
They were very cute.
Yeah, I think she'd like to have a chat with a cat. That'd be quite high up. The animals that Ruana's been, I think, like, she'd be more inclined to, yeah, like, have a chat with an owl. Or what else? What else has she been? A mouse.
Aww. Yeah. So cute.
Yeah. It's a really adorable question, though.
Really adorable.
Or a micro owl bear out in the wild.
Oh, my God. Baby
owl. Little herds of micro owl bear roaming.
So cute. Thank you to the person that we credited at the time of first discussing Mike Growlbears for inventing that as a creature.
That is absolutely brilliant. Because they're adorable and too small to hurt you in a way that a real owlbear. Big owlbears. Like,
exactly
real owlbear. They're not real. I want them to be real, but they're not.
I want polar bears to be miniature so that I can own a polar bear.
I mean, any bears, really. Like, I think it's a shame that they're so cute because they're so scary and deadly.
I once had a dream, this is like a decade ago, that my husband bought me a baby Diplodocus and it was the cutest thing ever. Well, it didn't exist because it was in my dream, but it was like sort of a foot long Diplodocus that just sort of like ran up your arm, and you could like put it in your hand, like a sort of over, like a rat sort of size. And like every few days, I remember that's not a real thing. It makes me really sad.
Follow your dreams, make it real.
Yeah. So I mean, if you could let me turn Ruana into a baby Diplodocus, that would be really nice, David.
Dinosaurs are technically
that's
beasts.
That's true. They exist.
Great. And if it's tiny, yeah, a tiny one, mean, then it's a tiny beast.
One.
Great.
It still counts.
You heard it here first.
Awesome. Because this has gone in such a wholesome direction, I feel like our final question is kind of perfect, which is from Captain Jam for both of you, which is, shout if it's too early, but I have to know, what would you give each character for Christmas/the festive season and why?
I love these kind of gift-giving things. Yeah. That's why we did The Heart of Spring, just because it was Christmas at the time.
Heart of Springmas.
Heart of Springmas.
So wholesome.
Yeah. I would give each character a book that like specifically is designed for them in some way or other.
Oh, that's
you
nice.
Know, like just like a really personalized, I know you want like this information. Here is an entire book on this stuff.
The gift of stories.
That's what I would
do. Yeah.
Gift of stories, gift of information, gift of, yeah.
That's a very DM gift.
Juna could write them all a Christmas story and tell them all a story about them, about themselves.
Vicky, that's actually a tradition I have with a group of my friends, is that we do a secret Santa, but instead of gifts, we do stories or poems. It's really fun and really nerdy, but it's great.
Amazing idea, though.
Possibly my favorite thing about the festive season. So yeah, we all pull on each other's names out of a hat and write a story or a poem for that person.
I love that.
I'm literally thinking about the WhatsApp groups I'm going to suggest.
Oh, steal it. It's genius.
Yes.
Yeah.
I can't remember how we thought it up, but it's been a tradition for quite a few years now. And then we get together and have a meal and like all put them in the middle and everyone takes theirs and reads it out to everyone. Then we have to guess who wrote it. And it's like, it's such a good game. It's so
amazing.
Fun.
Give us the gossip. Are there any stories that, or any writers that are just like, ooh, can't.
No, this is the thing, right? I'm quite scared actually, because this friend group of mine, I love them. Shout out to my besties, but they are all extremely talented. And it's very intimidating. So I feel like I really got to bring it every year. And each year I'm like, shit, I don't know how I'm going to top anything that comes out. And they're all very different as well. So it's all like, it's very funny and very clever. And we just end up laughing for hours. It's great. I highly recommend it to everybody. So it's such good fun.
I'm going to get this completely wrong. I think there's a Charles Dickens book that's like a collection of ghost stories that was that exact thing, basically. Like, not that exact thing. But that they all went to a group of friends of his all went to a house together and like wrote ghost stories and then like
I think there was a Victorian writer, I think maybe a contemporary of Dickens, who had a tradition of writing a ghost story on Christmas every year. And I think they all did. Yeah, I think you're right. There was something like that where they like read them to each other Brilliant.
Oh.
Ben, yes, Christmas Carol is a Christmas ghost story.
It's somewhere up there. Well, yeah. Which, small plug, if you're in any Fuller's pubs.
No small plug.
Well, you know what? You guys have just done the perfect segue because we are coming to the end of the show. So is there anything you would like to plug?
Well, Christmas Carol. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, coming to a Fuller's pub near you. You can go on to our social medias. You can go onto our social media to find the link. Is the easiest way to do it. We're going to Fuller's Pubs among the south of England from the 2nd of December till the 23rd of December. Ben Galpin will be playing Scrooge. Woo!
The glorious Scrooge.
I'll be playing a bunch of characters, half of which you go, they're real character in that story. And David.
They weren't in the Muppet version.
They weren't in the Muppet version, yeah. And David has done all the music and Grace has done all the costumes and I've made a lot of the props and trunks. So it's got,
you have actually, haven't you? Yeah.
It's got no small roles
that
all over
great.
It. And if you're coming, tell us that you're coming because then we can come and say hey. Because Ben and I will be at all the shows because
Kizio in them. Yep.
And Ben's contracted in now.
And the link will also be in the show notes, so you can go on the social media or you can look in the show notes.
Me, Ben, and Daryl actually had the pleasure the other day of sitting down with Shelley Mazanoble and Greg Tito from the Dragon Talk podcast to talk about their upcoming book, Welcome to Dragon Talk. Long title. It's a very long title. Shelley is known for writing long titles, as is we learnt very quickly when chatting to them. But yeah, so I mean, it was an absolutely fantastic opportunity to talk with them and chat. Yeah, their experiences of basically being like the people in the middle of D&D for the best part of 10 years, if not more. And yeah, just the amazing guests that they've had on their podcasts. So yeah, check that out, which if it's not out now, it will be out soon.
And also buy their book, I'm assuming.
Welcome to Dragon Talk. It's really, really interesting. It's a really good read. Very entertaining, actually. Very interesting. That's my official... very entertaining.
Fantastic. Oh, this has been an absolute delight. Thank you guys so, so much. I've had so much fun. And thank you, everyone, for your phenomenal questions.
And thank you, Hannah.
It's been so much fun. Hannah, I want to do it again.
It's so nice hanging out.
I think that's it from us, so I guess all that remains is to say the infamous catchphrase, which I definitely do really well all the time. Do we usually count in on this episode, or is it more like super fan chats where I just kind of wave my arms in the air and hope we all say it at the same time?
Do that one.
Are you ready?
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yes.
A non for now. Yay.
Smashed it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.